if you happen to be in a record store, and they're getting more and more scarce these days, try asking for a CD that Phil Ramone produced. The choices start here.
Heading out for the East Coast, Lord knows I've paid some dues getting through. Tangled up in blue.
Give your hand to me, and then you say hello. And I can hardly speak.
Without a rose, if the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
It might be more efficient to ask what CDs Phil Ramone has not produced. His discography reads like a billboard list of hits. Artists from Bob Dylan to Luciano Pavarotti, Madonna, Paul Simon, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, Sirs Paul McCartney and Elton John, Renee Fleming, Sir Frank Sinatra, and Marilyn Monroe. And on the seventh day, Phil Ramone is also credited with introducing the CD to music. Back in the early 1980s. Nowadays, Phil Ramone is enjoying the success of a couple of his latest releases, Genius Loves Company, the Ray Charles Duets Project, and the latest from Tony Bennett. It's called The Art of Romance. Phil Ramone joins us from New York City. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Scott.
Are you the guy we have to blame for CDs and all of us having to replace our record collections?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, probably.
Well, I've been looking for you. It's too late now.
No, there's still those people who love their LPs, though.
I rattled off a list of names which would strike a lot of people as being seemingly unrelated, but not to you, certainly. So what do Pavarotti, Dylan, and Renee Fleming, and Marilyn Monroe all have in common?
I think when you take the fortunes of my having to been in those positions to record these people or in some cases produce them. And, you know, I started out very young as an engineer, and there's one common thread, which is the amazing talents of those people.
You say you started out as an engineer. I had the impression you started out as a violinist when you were like six.
Oh, you know, you must have read my real discography. Yes, I did. I started out, oh gosh, I think I was three. Nobody took it seriously till I was about five or six, and then...
You mean when they didn't take a three-year-old violinist seriously?
No.
Imagine that.
I felt that all of the people who I knew, who I grew up with, were far better musicians than myself, and I sort of headed towards the backstage part of life rather early. I knew that I could play reasonably well, but I felt, you know, there was going to only be one out of a dozen of us that was going to succeed or could reach the kind of heights of Isaac Stern and the kind of dreams of what Heifetz sounded like.
In fact, a music critic once sat me down and played Dusty Springfield and A Look of Love, saying he thought this was the best single recording ever made. You've heard that over the years, haven't you?
Well, sometimes I think it's Dusty in the song. How about that?
Well, let's listen to a little.
The look of love is in your eyes. The look your heart can't disguise.
You were there when that was recorded.
Yes, I was.
What do you remember of it?
Well, Dusty was a very shy lady, a quiet, quiet lady, and then suddenly this voice opens up. I think that's been part of my pleasure all through life with great artists, is that when I'm sitting in the control room and I hear the voice, it's, my goodness, that's some sound that you've never heard before. It's so identifiable, and to this day, I know people would have real great envy about how Dusty sang.
Let me ask you about another song that's occasionally called the best single ever made. I wonder if I have to introduce this much. Let's just say Joie Gilberto.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela, menina que vem e que passa, num doce balanço, caminho do mar.
Stan Getz, though we don't hear him at this point,
right.
We will later, and João Gilberto, the girl from Ipanema. You were there for this recording session?
Yes, sir. That was an A&R recording, the old original studios on 48th Street in New York. The session was so quiet. Fortunately, we didn't have enough money to have a very good air conditioning, so it was off. The heat of the room was like Brazil. But a lovely, another shy human being in João, a very quiet lady in the booth sitting with us, was Astrid. The cute, unusual story about how Astrid got to sing is a piece of information that I don't know how many people know. But well, let's
tell 4.2 million. Let the story get around.
Okay. Norman Gimbel, who was a great lyricist, walked into the studio and Creed said, "Do you have the lyric?" And he said, "Yeah, it's finished." And he looked at it and he said, "Boy, this would be a great song for like a Sarah Vaughan or one great singer or another. Too bad we don't have anybody around who could sing it." And this little voice said, "Well, I can sing."
Oh, but you sing so sadly.
Well, throw another name at you. Billy Joel. His album 52nd Street,
right,
was among the first, maybe the first, widely available commercial CD.
It was the first, as far as I know.
Let's listen. My Life.
I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life.
Now, you use the word shy when speaking about Dusty Springfield and João Gilberto, and for that matter, Astrud Gilberto. I don't read that word associated a lot with Billy Joel.
No. High adventure. One of the great performers of all time. When he was stuck for a lyric, the best way to get his brain going was sometimes throw a stupid kind of lyric out on the table. And he would say, "You must be kidding." I said, "Well, if you can't come up with anything, that's what we're going to be stuck with." So, and then the acid test is, what does it sound like? Does it sound like someone else's song? We don't want it to even resemble two notes that repeat or do anything that feels like something else you've ever heard. And yet, amazingly enough, some of the songs come out and you say, "Boy, I feel like that song was written for me. Now I know it. It's all part of my life." No pun intended.
Yeah.
I'm an audience too, you know.
Well, is that part of being a great producer too, being a good audience?
I think you have to be. You can't be so pompous and egotistical that you can't hear and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We also make lots of mistakes, in case anybody wants to ask that one.
Mr. Ramon?
Yeah?
Do you ever make any mistakes?
Nah.
Because a great producer once told me that he made lots of mistakes.
Oh, yeah, well, he obviously wasn't. He was drinking something.
Well, what kind of mistakes do producers other than you make?
Well, we all do the two things that you have to be aware of. One is you're vulnerable to a musical mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You can call the wrong chord. You can ask for a change in something. But sometimes you're steering a whole orchestra or an orchestration with an artist into a tempo that you may regret later. You can't be a wise guy and just be so sure. You have to keep listening to where the music and the lyric marry and accompany the artist. That, to me, is 90% of not getting into trouble. The other 10% could be your ego saying, I know it shouldn't be at this tempo. And the best way around all of that kind of work, by the way, so that the mistake doesn't last, is to listen carefully to what the artist is saying to you.
Well, it seems to us it ought to be up to you to decide what music we play coming out of this interview.
Ah.
Of all the music that passed through your hands and ears and talents over the years, what one song is on your mind now that might bring us to the end of the interview?
There was a song, it's a very obscure. Billy Joel wrote it. It was called Where's the Orchestra? It's about a man who's built his life and come to where he and his wife are going to go to a Broadway show. And it's not exactly what they thought it would be. It's quite thought-provoking about how each decade or period of your life you just think, oh boy, do I know what I've been aiming for, and then somebody actually gives you the answers and you hear it. I know it's an obscure intro to an obscure song, but Where's the Orchestra is an interesting piece.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, mine. Thank you so much. Scott, it's great.
Phil Ramone, the founder of A&R Records, speaking with us from New York City.
Where's the orchestra? Wasn't this supposed to be a musical? Here I am in the balcony. How the hell could I have missed the overture?
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.